We are thrilled that you joined us today. The message you're about to hear is filled with the life-changing power of God's Word. We would love for you to share with us how God has impacted your life through this message. Visit us at riverrochester.com or attend any of our services at the River Church in Brockport, New York. Thanks again for joining us, and we hope that you enjoy today's message.
I think one of the challenges for spiritual people, for Pentecostals, for charismatic people, is that we're always trying to replace the principles of God's Word with spiritual activity. And there's some things that you just can't avoid if you want to be successful and if you want to prosper. And tonight I'm going to share with you a principle that is from God's Word that if you put it into action, though it's not an easy one to put into action, if we'll do it, we'll be so much more successful at prospering the way that God desires us to. Now, that's not a slight towards Pentecostals and charismatics, because we're somewhere in between the two. I don't always understand the difference, but we're just not as, I guess, formal as all of that, and we're not as strange as all of that. You know, you can get very formal as a Pentecostal, and you can get very weird as a charismatic. So we're, like I say, we're somewhere between the two. We believe in all of that, the gifts of the Spirit, the move of the Spirit, and we also believe in God's Word and taking action on the Word. Amen? I want to share with you a message that I'm calling Inconsistency Lies the Power. Inconsistency lies the power. And I'm taking that line from Gloria Copeland. On Kenneth Copeland's ministry page, they did a little article, and he wrote this. This was Reverend Kenneth Copeland's writing, and he said, "Years ago, God spoke a phrase to Gloria's heart that I've never forgotten. She'd been asking him to teach her to walk in the Spirit, to operate more fully in the supernatural power of God." I don't know about you, but I've also prayed prayers like that, asking God to help me to walk more fully in the supernatural power of God. The response that God gave her in prayer is kind of astonishing to me. "Inconsistency lies the power," he said. "Inconsistency lies the power," he said, which he was giving the answer to walking in the supernatural power of God. So a simple deduction from that statement would be, in inconsistency lies weakness and inability. So, as I said, as Pentecostals and charismatics, sometimes we have the temptation to do very spiritual things to replace principles that require work and effort in order to get ahead. Consistency isn't exactly a fun thing all the time to do. It's when you don't want to do, when you wake up, you know you have to wake up at a certain time and do certain things, and you have a plan and a routine. It's not always the most fun and joyful thing to do, but inconsistency lies the power. So by definition, though, I'm sure most of you are very aware of what the word consistency means. I have this habit of looking up definitions of words that I already know the meaning of them. And of course, consistency isn't a complicated word, but sometimes a definition helps us understand the importance of it. By definition, it is unchanging in nature, standard or effect over time. Unchanging in nature. So when you hear that statement, who does that make you think of? Exactly. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 8. And sometimes these principles that seem so unspiritual are so very spiritual, they just are practical, but I think that God is a practical God. And so Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that definition of consistent is unchanging in nature. He's unchanging. And if you want, you can go there with me. Let's read another one. Numbers 23 and verse 19. Numbers 23 and verse 19. God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. Has he said, and will he not do? Or has he spoken, and will he not make it good? Next, James 1:17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. With whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. So God's nature doesn't change. Who God is and his principles and the way he is does not change. Now, certain things in life train us to be consistent. We know to change the oil every 3,000 miles, right? Or, every 90 days or every 3,000 miles, right? Ladies? Why am I picking on the ladies? Well, ask my wife. We know that we should brush our teeth at least twice a day, right? We know that we should shower, and I'm going to leave that as needed because, I don't want to put a limit on people. You know, some people require more than others, you know, but I would say we know that we should shower as needed. We know that we should take our wife on dates. We know that we should exercise, right? We know that we should do these things, and hopefully we're putting an effort towards them, right? In any of these things, if you did them once and never did them again, it wouldn't help you out very much. If you bought a brand new car tonight, you drive it, and at 3,000 miles, you're like, I need to change my oil. And you do. And then 40,000 miles later, your engine explodes and you are very frustrated with why that happened. And the mechanic asks you, when's the last time you changed your oil? Well, they said to change it at 3,000 miles, so I did. You would, the mechanic would look at you like you're pretty stupid, right? Because it's a matter of being consistent with changing your oil according to the manufacturer's instructions. If you take your wife out on a date when you're dating, and then you take her on a date when you're engaged, and then you take her on a date when you get married, and then that's it, a few years down the road, your wife is not going to be so happy with you. She's going to wonder, why doesn't he take me on dates anymore? It's a matter of being consistent. Exercising. You can't exercise once and be like, yeah, I did that and it didn't really do much for me. It's a matter of being consistent at it, right? Let's look at a verse that I like concerning money, because God's principles are, we find them throughout the Word, and he wants us to prosper, and if we'll apply his principles, we will. It's Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 11. This verse, I think I've shared on it before, but this verse saves me a lot of trouble. I'll read it in the New Living Translation, and then I'll read it in the Passion Translation. You guys know on Wednesday nights, we like to get passionate here. The New Living says, wealth from get-rich-quick schemes quickly disappears. Wealth from hard work grows over time. Now, I like that verse. And I like even that it does say hard work, but hard work could sometimes give the wrong implication, because work doesn't necessarily have to be hard in order to get wealthy from it. So that's why I wanted to include the Passion Translation. Wealth quickly gained is quickly wasted. Easy come, easy go. You know, I mean, they told, you know, if you read where they get the Passion Translation from, they say that they, like, directly are translating it from the original Hebrew and Aramaic, but I'm not so sure. I'm not so sure on some of these verses. You know, I think they translated it and then added their own passion to it. But nonetheless, it kind of gets the point across. It's kind of like the Message Bible, you know. It's like, I don't know really if that's, you know, the way I would have translated it, but it gets the point across. Wealth quickly gained is quickly wasted. Easy come, easy go. But if you gradually gain wealth, you will watch it grow. I mean, that verse right there saves me from gambling because, I mean, you know, I mean, people are always looking for excuses as to why they can live how they want, and they'll be like, well, there's no verse that says anything about gambling. Well, I mean, I don't know about, I've never really gambled, so I wouldn't know, but it seems like if you, I mean, I guess some people, they sit at the slot machine for like 3 hours before winning anything, so maybe that's why they don't consider getting rich quick, but, you know, If that's your intention to go in and, you know, pull the lever down and win some money real quick, I would think that's a get-rich-quick scheme. And, you know, there's enough businesses out there that'll have you sign up for their business because some guy was living in his garage and then he started selling juice, and 3 months later he bought a mansion because he added 3,000 people to his right leg and 10,000 people to his left leg, and now he's just raking in the millions of dollars. And it's so simple, you can do it too. You know, you save yourself some hassle knowing a verse like this. But the good thing that we see here is that the Bible says that if you add wealth over time, if you add money over time, you will watch it grow. And, you know, like I said, I'll probably repeat myself several times tonight on this. We're Pentecostal, we're charismatic, we're spiritual people, so we like to ignore stuff like this, and we would rather not save money, but just spend all the money that we have and then believe God for the money when rent comes due. I know there's no amens on that one, because that, you know, that's, it's unspiritual. But if you take God at His word, I consider it spiritual. And, you know, I mean, you probably won't go to too many Pentecostal and charismatic churches that encourage you to save, because they would rather encourage you to give. You know, you don't have to save in this earth. Just give it all into the offering, put it all into God's kingdom, and then when you get to heaven, you'll have a great reward. Which is true, yes, but you also see from God's word that you can gain wealth in this life. You don't have to be broke in this life in order to be wealthy in heaven. You can be wealthy both here and in heaven. And so, as much as I believe in giving, I believe in saving, but I wasn't always a saver. Actually, it wasn't until probably a couple years ago. And here's something that I'll probably say again later. What are you doing with what you know to do? Because, you know, my whole life I knew saving is a good thing, but I didn't save money my whole life. But how many? It's great when you find someone that you can learn from and follow their example. And one of those people in my life is Dr. Gene Lingerfelt in Texas. And he said that the Lord spoke to him when he was in prayer in the 80s and said, you don't have any money because you never save any money. And even though he was a Pentecostal and prosperous in the sense that he was giving and the Lord would provide for him, he was never actually gaining ground financially because he was never taking of what God was giving him and putting some aside. So the Lord spoke to him specifically and said, save something every week, even if it's just $5. Every week, take something and put it aside. And saving money means you don't spend it, you know? I mean, someone's like, well, I saved it this week and I spent it next week. No, that's not how saving works. You save it and you keep it in there. And as you do that, as you apply that principle, it grows. You know, I knew too many broke Bible school students when I was in school because they didn't work jobs. They were at home living by faith, which meant they were lazy and they were, quote, believing God for money. And then when they did get money, as fast as it came, it's as fast as it went. This, as soon as I've been believing God for financial provision, and then a miracle happens and someone comes up and gives them $1,000, $2,000, $5,000, and you think, great, well, you should be set for the year. I mean, like, as a Bible school student, you know, granted, if you're 18 and you're single, you know, $5,000 should last you some time. But you give, I saw it happen. Students get $5,000. A month later, they're like, they're broke again. And you're like, what did you do? But that's because, you know, well, you know, I sowed $4,000 into the offering. I spent $500 on groceries, $300 on my girlfriend, and, you know, then I had a couple hundred left to myself, and that's gone. Yeah, I mean, it sounds stupid, but people do that. And then they're like, well, you know, I mean, now I have seed in the ground, and so I'll believe God. I'm all for having seed in the ground, and I have seed in the ground. Every single service that we come here, we put seed in the ground. We're tithers, and we're giving on top of that. But we do it as the Holy Spirit leads us. Amen? And by storing up over time, you can watch your bank account grow. Has anybody here ever watched their bank account grow? Isn't it nice? It is okay to admit that, you know? I mean, like, it's like, well, we're in church, so we're supposed to be broke, and we're supposed to give everything. No, you can... We read the scripture that our wealth should be adding up over time. So we know, we're trained by circumstances in life, the things that we know to do, brushing our teeth, showering, taking our wife on dates, exercising, all of these things, we know that we should be consistent in them. Yet how do we treat God? Are we consistent in the way that we treat God? Like I said earlier, it's shocking to me that when this woman of God was praying about how to walk in the supernatural power of God, the response that she got was, the power is in consistency. You know, do you notice what it wasn't? Fasting, laying on of hands, dancing in the Spirit, flag waving, all of these good things that, you know, bring the anointing in, falling down. You know, I mean, He said it was consistency. And we can clearly back this up, this principle, by the Word of God. Now, along with the aforementioned verses that we already read about God and His nature, there are so many more that I left out when I was studying for this and seeing. I mean, we read three verses about God being the same, but it's throughout the entire Bible, Old Testament and New Testament, where God is saying, I am the same, and I do not change. He repeatedly said it. So what does this have to do with us? Well, here's why consistency is so important. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 1 says that we are to be imitators of God as dear children, right? Which means we should be consistent like Him. We're to have His nature. Now, I know His nature, it means a lot of different things. And it includes a lot of spiritual things. And consistency is one of those spiritual things that sometimes we might not consider to be a very spiritual thing. But if God tells us that He's consistent all the time, that He never changes, and that we are to be like Him, why, and maybe I'm just speaking from myself, maybe this message is just for me and not anybody else tonight, but why does it seem like it's so difficult sometimes to be consistent? Have you ever tried to be consistent at something and it was like, man, you know that you should do it. You have knowledge that it's beneficial to you. But when you go out to do it, whether in the practical or in the spiritual, if it's beneficial to you, it's tough. Now, if it's detrimental to you, it seems like it's easy. So why is that? Well, the devil, he has made it his purpose to make the believer of little or no effect in this world. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 11 says this, "Lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices." Lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. That's 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 11. So one reason that sometimes we fail is because we are ignorant of Satan's devices. And we are ignorant of the way that he comes and attacks us. Because growing up in Christian culture, you get this idea that Satan, the devil, is this big scary guy, and the only thing that he's going to do to you is try to kill you, try to put cancer on you, try to destroy you with a storm. But sometimes he can just destroy you by distorting God's word and by getting you to avoid principles in God's word that actually take work. So as we study God's word, we gain understanding of what Satan's devices are, so that we gain the knowledge of how to easily overcome and defeat the devil and put him on the run. The devil, he is not a creator. God is a creator. The devil is a perverter. God creates things. God creates principles. The devil doesn't ever come up with his own ideas and principles. He simply perverts what God has done. In Acts chapter 13 and verse 10, you don't really have to turn there, but we see that Paul, he's actually rebuking Elymas the sorcerer, who was blocking the proconsul from hearing the gospel. And Paul, he rebukes the devil that was in the sorcerer. And he says, "O full of all deceit and fraud, you son of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness, will you not cease perverting the straight ways of the Lord?" That's what the devil does. That's his device. That's his way of keeping us ineffective. Is if God has a principle in his word, he's going to try and pervert it. And so if God says, "I don't change, I'm consistent, I'm always the same, no matter what comes," then you know that the enemy, the devil, is going to try in some way to pervert this. And that's why it's so easy to be consistent in anything that is unproductive and detrimental. Because if something is good and something is productive, it's generally hard on your flesh and even tough for you to do in the spirit. You know, you spend an hour in prayer. When's the last time you spent an hour in prayer? If you've not had a lifetime devoted to prayer and you go from not really praying much to saying, "I'm going to pray in tongues tomorrow," you'll find that after 5 minutes, it's a little more difficult than you think. And then to be consistent in that, praying an hour a day like that every day, it's tough. But did you notice that it's not a struggle to put the television on for an hour a day? Anything that's detrimental, the devil makes it very easy for you to be consistent in, because he wants you to gratify your flesh. He wants you to gratify your carnal nature. That's why so many different things that we can so easily become addicted to are easy to be consistent in. Drugs, alcohol, promiscuous sex, pornography, TV, video games, wasting money. All of this, it's easy to be consistent in those things. Because the enemy wants you to gratify your flesh. And it's easy for you to do that. Let me ask you, who's the last person that you met that said they struggle with addiction to Bible reading? It's just so hard. I just can't stop myself. I find myself everywhere I am just picking up the Bible and reading it. I'm addicted to praying, and it's just like such a weight on my life. I wake up and all I want to do is pray, and I go to, right before I go to bed, all I want to do is pray for 3 more hours. You've never found somebody that had that problem. Yeah, a binge prayer. A binge Bible reader. I struggle with binging the Bible. It's been 3 days and 8 hours since my last binge. The spiritual things, the productive things, the good things, I mean, even, you know, taking the non-spiritual examples, just the practical good examples, like we read about saving money, exercising, being healthy, these things, you know, those are also a struggle. Why? Because they're productive, because they help you, they make you joyful, they make you healthy. These are things that the devil doesn't want you to have. He wants to steal from you, to kill you, and to destroy you. So he's going to come at you however he can. I'm addicted to saving money. I just love putting money in my bank account. I hate spending money on myself. I just love saving money. I'm addicted to lifting weights. You know, I mean, even people that like going to the gym and, you know, people we convince ourselves, oh yeah, it's like this big endorphin rush and whatever, you know, we get creative with how we talk about it. Man, it still sucks. You know, I mean, I grew up going to the gym and working out and, like, you know, you like the results so you do it, but it still sucks when you do it. Why? Because it's good for you. You know, the things that are good for you, the devil wants to destroy you. So if he can get you to be inconsistent in the things that are good and consistent in the things that are bad, then you're not living in the nature of God. You're living in the devil's nature, the perversion of God's nature. And so why does he attack this area so strongly? He knows. The devil knows the word better than most Christians. Look at when Jesus was on the earth, the devil quoted the scripture to him. He knows it. He probably knows it better than most preachers. And so he comes against it. And if he knows that consistency, with it comes power in the supernatural, then he's going to do whatever it takes to get you to be inconsistent. And so by nature, by our human carnal nature, you might be terribly inconsistent. But when we take on God's nature, we no longer have to live in the carnal realm. We can strip off the old nature, the carnal nature, put on God's nature. And when we don't feel like being consistent, we don't walk by feelings or by the senses. We walk by faith and by the word. We put on God's nature, and we become consistent in the things that are beneficial to us. You know, you can go as far with God as you want. 3 John 2, he desires that you prosper and be in health. That's God's desire for us, but it's really up to you. In spiritual things that we value and that are good, don't replace things like being consistent. And sometimes that's not fun. But my desire is that you prosper and be in health, and in order to do so, you have to become consistent. Let me read a few scriptures, a few more, I should say, in regard to being consistent. Let's read 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 57 and 58. Let's read it together. Because verse 57 is one of my favorites. I love to quote it. It's in the confession template that I wrote up for the church. 57 says, "But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Not defeat. We're not defeated. We're not losers. We're victorious, right? Now, verse 58, what's the first word in that verse say? Therefore. Okay. Therefore connects what's about to be said to what was just said. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable. What are those two words? Steadfast and immovable. It's consistent. Therefore, be consistent, he could have said. Always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Well, our labor is not in vain in the Lord because we're always victorious. And we should be immovable. We should be steadfast when God gives you something. And this is one of the keys is being immovable, is being steadfast. But how many of you have had the Lord speak to you something, whether in a sermon that you heard at one time, whether in your own time in prayer, whether in your own studying the Word, and you got something and you started off in it and you knew that you had something that was going to give you traction in life, and 6 months, a year, 2 years later, you're not doing it anymore. You know, every year I share in the spring generally on confession, on speaking God's Word. And we get all excited about it, and we realize the power of life and death is in our tongue. But let me ask, it's January. How many of us are still doing our confessions on a regular basis? This is something that when you get an answer, you just got to stick to it. You just got to bite onto it and don't let it go. And if you have to, take one thing this year that you know that you should be doing, that you know that God has spoken to you, that this is something that you should be doing every day. If you took one thing like that every single year for the next 10 years, and you just built on it every single year, where this year, okay, let's take confession. This year, I am going to do confessions every single day, no matter what comes. When you do it for a year, it becomes a habit. And then, you know, you take something next year. Okay, well, I'm going to add, you know, praying in tongues for an hour. Or the following year, I'm going to, you know, add offerings to my tithe. Whatever it is that God is giving you to do, and you know this is something that you should do, start making progress in that one area. Sometimes we try to bite off 15 different things at once. And, you know, that's partially because, you know, we're at church and, you know, I don't want to preach on the same single thing every single sermon for the entire year. People would get bored and wouldn't come back. So we preach on like 52 different things throughout the year. And so it's sometimes hard to pick out, well, which one? Well, maybe you take two, maybe you take three, but don't bite off too much that you can actually work on in your life. Let's read another one. James chapter 1 and verse 4 in the Amplified. But let endurance and steadfastness and patience have full play and do a thorough work so that you may be people perfectly and fully developed with no defects, lacking in nothing. If you want to be lacking in nothing, you want to be fully developed, you want to be a perfect people, well, then you have to have endurance and steadfastness and patience. All of those things go right hand in hand with consistency. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 23. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope or our faith without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. That goes hand in hand with what I was just talking about in regard to confession. You got to hold fast to it. Because if the enemy can get you to just make a confession once or twice, 1 month, 2 months, 3 months, but then he can stop you from doing it as a pattern and in a lifestyle, there won't be much fruit from it. You have to do it over and over again. You know, the way that a farmer takes care of his crops is the first thing that he does is not plant the seed. The first thing he does is he prepares the ground. He plows it up, then he discs it, then he does all this stuff to the ground just to get it ready. Then he plants it, then he waters it, then he weeds it. And he does all of this stuff before he reaps the harvest. What do we do as Christian? All we try to do is sow a seed and then reap the harvest. And when we don't see harvest, instantly we're like, well, that didn't work. But let me ask, did you prepare the ground? Did you water it? Did you weed it? Did you take care of it? Did you watch over it? And I mean, there's so many things that go into different principles in God's Word. For example, we talk about giving and that being a key to breakthrough in finances, which it is, but there's other things that go along with it. The words that we speak, the way that we steward the things that God gives us, that we prove ourselves faithful. What have we done with the talent that He's given us? It's not just about putting money in the offering once a week or once a year for some people. But there's principles that we need to be consistent in that all factor into it. John chapter 8 and verse 31 and 32, in the King James Version, it says it this way, "Then Jesus said to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." So it's a matter of continuing in the word. Abiding in the Word, letting that Word abide in you, and you abiding in the Word. Deuteronomy chapter 28, this is also, you see Deuteronomy 28 in our confession template. But in the first two verses it says this, "Now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all His commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God." And I know the objections that people have to these verses. Well, you know, that's Old Testament and those commandments don't apply to us anymore. Well, read the New Testament and find out the commandments that Jesus gave, and I promise you, anything that the old commandments told you to do or not to do are found in the New Testament or expounded on in the New Testament even more. So you can't get away with it and be like, well, I don't have to, you know, abide by those Old Testament commandments other than the ceremonial ones, which the ceremonial commandments are the ones that Jesus did away with, not the moral ones. But if we diligently obey the voice of the Lord to observe carefully His commandments. You know, so if we took that verse and put it in the New Testament and you diligently observe the commandments of the New Testament, then all these blessings will come upon you and overtake you. You see, 3 John 2, "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things." God wants us to prosper. All these blessings overtaking you sounds like prosperity to me. Now, what does diligent mean? It means constant in effort to accomplish something, attentive and persistent in doing anything. Sounds a whole lot to me like consistency. So how do we implement consistency into our daily lives? Well, let's take a look at Daniel. It's one of my daughter's favorite cartoons to watch, is Daniel in the Lion's Den. Daniel chapter 6 and verse 10. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home and went in his upper room with the windows open toward Jerusalem. He knelt down on his knees three times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since early days. Now the reason that this was such a bold thing for him to do was the king had just signed a decree that if anyone prayed to any other god besides the king, then they would be thrown into the lion's den. And notice, Daniel didn't go home and hide and pray. He went home and opened up his windows so that anybody looking in could see him praying. And he prayed three times a day, as was his what? His custom. Now, how many of us have a custom of praying at least three times a day? I don't want to be beaten by an Old Testament dude. You know, he wasn't baptized in the Holy Ghost. He wasn't praying in tongues, but he was consistent in his prayer. And when he got thrown in the lion's den, guess what didn't happen? Right, he didn't get eaten. But the people that were persecuting him did get eaten. But he was consistent in his prayer. Let's see it in action in the early church. In the book of Acts chapter 2, verse 42, And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. Do you know what continuing steadfastly means? I hope by now you got it. What were they steadfast in? In praying, fellowshipping together, breaking bread. We're all good with the breaking bread part, amen? And studying the apostles' doctrine. The same chapter, verse 46, so continuing daily. What does continuing daily mean? Consistent. I thought this is just an Old Testament boring principle. No, it's in the early church, in the very chapter where the day of Pentecost is explained. So continuing daily. With one accord, in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity in heart. Paul's ministry, let's go to Acts chapter 19, verse 9. But when some were hardened and did not believe, but spoke evil of the way before the multitude, he departed from them and withdrew the disciples, reasoning daily in the school of Tyrannus. And this continued for 2 years, so that all who dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. I mean, we talk about this when we talk about revival. What was this ingredient in the mix? Of course, you know, you read the next verses and you see the signs and wonders that were done by the hands of Paul so that aprons or handkerchiefs could be taken from his body in order to heal and cast out devils from people. But what is the one of these ingredients in this mixture of the revival? Continuing daily to discuss the Word of God. Consistency isn't just a boring principle that is like, yeah, well, I'm just going to be spiritual and not do that. And just believe God and just trust Him. Well, I don't know. I think the early church and Paul would disagree with you. They were consistent in prayer, studying the word, fellowshipping with each other. You know, iron sharpens iron. I'm sure they just weren't hanging around and playing Xbox. So how else can we implement this? Well, Jesus taught us to live by our word. In Matthew 5 and verse 37, he said, "Let your yes be yes and your no be no, for whatever is more than these is from the evil one." Be consistent in your word. When you give someone your word, make sure that you abide by it. If you can't trust in your own word, it hinders your ability to believe in God's word. But as you honor your word and you become a man and a woman of your word, it's 2019, I can't say man and a woman, you have to say man or a woman, a man or woman of your word, then people will be able to recognize that and you'll be able to trust God's word. So as I said earlier, start where you are. You know, if you don't read your Bible, start tomorrow reading your Bible and realize that faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God, and all of these principles that we get out of the Word come from understanding the Word. How are we going to learn what the devil's devices are and how he can defeat us if we aren't in the Word? So maybe you're already in the Word and you need to, you know, we read in Bible school last night, I think, no, it was Monday night, in 2 Peter chapter 1, all of this list of all these things that Peter says to add this to this, add this to this, add this to this. That's if you don't know what to do and you feel like you got it all sorted out, go to 2 Peter chapter 1 and just read that chapter, and you'll find out that there's a lot more that you could probably add to your Christian life. But what is it that will produce the greatest harvest in your life? Reading the Word, confessing the Word, tithing, giving offerings, praying, loving your wife. For different people, it's different things, but figure out what it is that'll produce a great harvest and then be consistent in that. I've seen this, that people always think that they need something more in order to get ahead, but let me ask, what have you been doing with what you already have? When regard to your understanding of the Word and principles from His Word, you know, people always need a new revelation. You know, they got to go to some prophet with wet underwear. They got to go to some conference somewhere, you know, to get something new. Well, I guarantee, unless that person just got saved. Which nobody acts that weird that just got saved. You got to learn that in church. But I guarantee someone that, you know, is always needing to go to another conference. Let me ask you, what did you do with the last conference that you went to? What did you do with what's being taught at your church on Sunday morning? Are you consistent in going to church? Some people, they'll go from conference to conference, church to church, and they don't even have their own pastor. You'll meet people like this, spiritual nomads. You ask them who their pastor is, and they can't give you an answer because, you know, they know, well, you know, I go here and I go there. That person will just be circling around the mountain for years on years until they finally decide that they need to have somebody to help them be accountable to their lifestyle. That's the reason why people do that. They bounce here and bounce there. That way no one really knows what they're up to. And they just claim that it's them being spiritual. You know, I just go where the Spirit's moving. Baloney. Go to a church where the Spirit's moving and stay there. You know, because people that are, you know, you do have to, you know, be careful sometimes about the amount of voices that you're listening to. You know, you come to church here and you're going to hear a message, but if you go home and you listen to like 26 different preachers throughout the week, you're just going to end up terribly confused and not know what to do. That's why find a couple few good ministers that you know that they're good, anointed, based on the Word, and then stick with them. You don't always need somebody different. You know, people, they want more anointing. Well, what have you done with the anointing that you already got? Oh, I need the double portion. What have you done with the single portion? Right? It's true, though. You find somebody answering every single altar call, you know, needs hands laid on them every single Sunday, every single Wednesday, every single opportunity that they can to get filled up, and yet they're not getting anybody saved. Nobody's getting healed. They're not doing squat. They're just spiritual morons that they claim to be spiritual, but really they're not doing anything. You see, when you get, what's the purpose of the baptism of the Holy Spirit? You'll be endued with power to become witnesses. So you find somebody that's not a witness and they're always, you know, going from one place to the next to get filled up. Eventually you just have to question, well, what is that you're actually doing? Because when you get filled with the Word, it's gives you the grace, and grace means ability to do what God has called you to do, which is doing something, not just sitting around, right? Amen? You want more wisdom and understanding? I mean, the Bible says that if we lack wisdom, that we can pray and ask for God for wisdom, so I'm not arguing with that. Well, the wisdom that He's given you, what have you done with it? Right? I mean, if you lack wisdom tonight, take Proverbs 13:11 home with you and start saving money. There, that's your wisdom for the night. Amen? And be consistent in that. You know, I took it as a challenge. I mean, like, I really felt the Lord rebuking me when Dr. Gene, you see, Dr. Gene's successful as a pastor and with his church, and so I don't have to necessarily question and be like, well, is that really going to work? I see it working in his life. Find a pattern worth replicating, and then stick to it. Be true to it, right? So when he says, you know, the Lord spoke to me, and he said, save money every week, that saves me some time in prayer. I don't need to go to prayer about, Lord, should I save money? The Lord spoke it to Dr. Gene. Well, that's good enough for me, right? I mean, that's actually why I started walking, because I heard him say that he's like, the Lord spoke to me to walk like 4 miles a day. I was like, what? Well, I mean, if he's good enough for him to do, I'll do it too. You know, I mean, you don't always, if you find something good that's productive, that's helpful, you don't have to necessarily pray about it. If it's a principle in God's word, you don't have to pray about it. Just do it and then be consistent in it. Amen?
Thanks for listening to this message from the River Church. We hope you stay connected with us online at riverrochester.com.